The Irish Racing Podcast with Andy Holding. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to William Hill's Irish Racing Preview. Going to be looking ahead to Friday evening's action on this edition. Dundalk is back. It might be a bit cold and wet outside, but hopefully we'll be able to cheer you up with a few winners on a Friday evening. My name is Alex Dunn and I've been joined on the line by William Hill's Irish racing expert, Andy Holding, to preview the action. How are you doing, Andy?
Morning, Alex. I'm all right, mate. Yeah, I'm good.
As I mentioned, Dundalk is back. And I'd imagine you're happier than most, aren't you?
I am, yes. yeah, great. Can't wait now. I mean, last week was just the hors d'oeuvre and now we're on to the main course.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, two good quality contests there. Best race they run here throughout the winter campaign. Kicks us off with a bang and we've got a good field assembled for that Diamond Stakes. And prior to that, there's a nice little shape to that 7.15 as well. And both, of course, are the dead eight runners. Perfect each way betting races for us maggots.
Indeed. I was going to call you a maggot there, Andy, but you did it for me. So as you mentioned, it's good quality, isn't it? It's the best card that Dundalk has to offer throughout the year, and it should be a good evening's racing, actually, shouldn't it?
I think so, yeah. We start with a good maiden, one or two well touted horses. We get onto the real difficult stuff later on in the night. I think my level of confidence rather dips after the 8.15 onwards. I think those last two races have been put on for the bookmakers. I don't think I've ever seen a couple of races, or one race in particular, where there's only 14 runners, yet they bet 7-1 the field. I mean, the Grand National, they don't have 7-1 the field nowadays, so that tells you about how difficult it is.
Competitive.
Yeah.
Okay, then, we'll kick things off with the 5.40. It's the first race on the card, and it's a maiden over a mile. Ossie Valentine looks like the place to start. Certainly a pleasing enough debut at the Curra, but interesting to see that Jim Bolger's Amber Grain unraced and has been reasonably well back this morning.
Yeah, slightly easier to back in the last hour or so since I've been monitoring the prices this morning on Odds Checker. And interesting, there's good money for Patrick Flynn's unraced gelding by Jeremy Dixie Highway, very much the horse who has been catching the attention of the punters this morning. And Pat Flynn is a very shrewd operator, so I'd certainly respect that. Was as big as 7-1 this morning, now into around about 7-2, 4-1. And he, along with the favourite, Ossie Valentine, who's also been well supported, are the two that punters want to know at the exclusion of everything else. Ossie Valentine, obviously, good run first time out the Curra in a maiden, which was won by Obliterator. I got just an OK speed figure for that race. I wouldn't certainly get carried away about backing this horse at a short price off the back of that. Yes, he has the experience, but I'm not sure even when he's a fair reflection of his chance here tonight. Whereas the other horse with form as well, filly by Intercab from the Jessica Harrington stable, called Cab Joy, certainly appeals to me here as the bet 16-1 with William Hill. I do think this is a fantastic price for this horse. Has run in two very good maidens, certainly better maidens than anything else has run against so far this season. Fifth on debut beyond Ballybacker Queen, Chicago Girl. Of course, Chicago Girl went on to finish second the other day in a group race, so that's good form. And then bumped into the same very horses down in Killarney, Adelana and Chicago Girl again. Finished sixth, did some good work at the end, not knocked about, the usual tale of the tape for this stable. Maybe it could be a third run for a handicap mark here, who knows, but certainly on what it's done so far on the racetrack, this horse should not be double figures, let alone 16-1. And I advise a decent each-way bet at that price on Cab Joy.
OK, then, Cab Joy in the 5.40 to put her experience to good use. The 6.15 is the second race on the card. It's an apprentice handicap over a mile. And this is one of the races you were talking about, Andy, has been very, very open. At the time of recording, we've got Pierre Dore in at the head of the market at 6-1. Has been reasonably well backed as well this morning, but you could see a few of these have got very, very feasible chances.
Yeah, this is a toughie. I'll probably have to throw two darts at the board. I probably won't get anywhere near the bullseye either with this race, but we'll have a go. Seven the field. Midfield General's one of them. That run behind that Boulevard was a good run two starts ago. If they're reproducing that, then Jim Boulder's charge. We've got a good chance. Drawn stall one as well, so a good platform to build upon for midfield general. Definitely a player. You mentioned money for Pierre Dorr. Good form here on the weather. And a good run last time out. So that's another tick in the box. Victor's Beach, he managed to win finally last time out, putting behind him a series of disappointing runs. So he's obviously in good nick. Could have done with a better draw. But the one I quite like, or the two I quite like here, firstly, number one is Salvado. Just had the three runs. So up to a degree of improvement. Got a rating of 68. And ran in a hot maiden here on his last run when finishing fourth. And a staying on fourth as well at that. In the hood for the second time behind Vasanta Navadri and Like a Diamond. Both horses have run since to a degree of differing fortunes, but the speed figure they generated on that occasion was a good one, and this horse only got beat six lengths, so a reproduction of that should see him go well. And the Ray Dawson and Charles O'Brien combination have struck many times throughout the summer period as well. Decent draw for Salvado in trap three, definite player. The other one I probably have to have a few quid as well, just to have a go, is Lake George. Now, there could be quite... a few queries on this horse's ability to stay the trip, but he has run over a mile and a quarter recently on the turf, so that's probably not too much of a problem. And the race that he finished second in last time out has come out really well on the figures. Iron Major posted a good figure on that occasion, beating Lake George in second. Gem Bat and Enigma Cove were well back in the field. They both won since, so I think he's probably worth the risk to make his class still here and run a good race, despite the trip being a concern. So Lake George and Salvado, my two choices in that second race.
OK, they're the picks in the 6.15. The 6.45 is race three on the card, and it is a filly's maiden over 7 furlongs. Correct me if I'm wrong here, Andy, but I make this race a little more open than the market may be suggesting.
Yeah, I've got that down. I'm surprised how they bet this race this morning. The one that sort of flummoxes me in many respects is his backdrop. I suppose you could put the poor run at Galway last time out down to the ground when she was sent off favourite. But, you know, her first one wasn't exactly awe-inspiring when she got well beat at Leopardstown, albeit against a couple of nice horses. So she's the one who's probably got more questions to ask. Intense debate. Well, where do we stand with this horse? Pitched into the deep end, as sometimes Jim Bolger does. He's certainly not afraid to run his horses in group race or listed races first time out. And that's what he did with this filly by Intense Focus last week at the Curragh when finishing fifth behind My Titania and Chicago Girl. Very good speed figure as well. One of the fastest two-year-old numbers I've got so far in Ireland. So she definitely sets a good stand. I think she's a worthy favourite. It's just whether a week after that run and drawn in stall 10, will she get the old bounce factor? If she does, then I'm prepared to perhaps to not back her at a short price and go elsewhere. And look towards Cultured Lady here. A filly who ran in a very hot maiden at Leopardstown on debut, which is working out equally as well as some of the races that the other protagonists in this race have been contesting. For instance, the winner, Velado, has won a sales race subsequently down in the Curragh. And, of course, My Titania, who ties in with... the favourite here was second in that race. So Cultured Lady in the first time hood, who was keeping on quite nicely for pressure late on to finish and never near a fourth, I actually think comes out better on the figures than her odds suggest. She's got a great draw as well. The Deegan team are in fantastic nick. 12-1. Wow, this is beyond my wildest dreams. I can't believe that we can get double figure odds about this horse. I thought this horse would be about a 5-6-1 chance. So we're getting double bubble for Cultured Lady here, and I think we should have a good go with this one at 12-1.
OK then, Cultured Lady in the 6.45. The 7.15 is a race over 6 furlongs, and it is a good contest. We were talking off air, Andy. I'm quite keen today on Cristoforo Colombo. I think it... I know it's a small, a short price, but I certainly think it'll take the beating. But you think you're going to punt this a different way?
Yeah, I quite like the right shape of this race. I'm just hoping and praying that all 8 runners stay in, because if they do, then I think there's a decent each-way bet here against the favourite. I certainly think he's a worthy one on his rating and his class, if you like. Of course, he's been contesting and dying at the very top table. Fifth, of course, in the Guineas itself behind Dawn Approach. He's always looked as though 6 furlongs, 7 furlongs was probably going to be his ideal distance, and that's the way he ran the other day. He got a little bit out of pace after being off the track for a little while. He was a little bit ring rusty down in the Curragh, but he did some good work late on in the end, and he ended up, although he finished 8th, he only got beat probably about a length and a half at the line, so it wasn't as bad a run as it at first glance suggests. But also in that race was Nocturnal Affair. Now this is the horse I suggest we should back each way against him, because also like the O'Brien train runner, Nocturnal Affair also suffered severe interference in that race. But the way he went through the line suggested to me that A, he would have beaten Cristoforo Colombo, and B, he would have gone very, very close to winning this race. Had he got a clear passage, he got his passage blocked on more than one occasion. He finished full of running, and even though that ninth doesn't reads a little bit ugly, I think, like I say, you can definitely upgrade that. He was also very unfortunate the time before when he missed the break and then got in behind another wall of horses dropping back in his lap at the same venue. So he's definitely in good form, this horse. Now, he's also got fantastic form here at Dundalk. He was runner-up in this race last year behind Balmot Mast. He couldn't live with that horse, who obviously went on to run well in the Dubai Festival behind the likes of Shay Shay. But he also had a bad draw, because he's drawn in stall 12. Smaller field tonight. His form figures here read 1-2-2. So it's hard to see Nocturnal Affair giving looking running, not finishing in the first three. And at 4-1, I think he's the way to play this race.
OK, then. Nocturnal Affair in the 7:15. The 7:45 is the Diamond Stakes, a Group 3 contest over a mile and 2.5 furlongs. Another race with a nice shape to it. And it's priced up similar to some of the races that we've already talked about. We've got pretty much a market matchup here between Parish Hall and Alfonso de Souza, who has been very well supported this morning for the Aidan O'Brien camp. Are you going to side with one of them, Andy? Or are we looking for each way value once more?
It's a difficult one, this, because I've gone top to tail and tried to work out how I'm going to bet this race. And every time I keep falling back to Alfonso de Souza on the basis that I think it could be quite a moderately run affair. And that would be rather odd for a Group 3 contest. But you often find that they dawdle in these races, particularly when you've got no obvious pace setter. And that's the problem that I've got. What's going to make the running? What's going to generate the speed that's going to get Alfonso de Souza out of his comfort zone? They went slow last week here in the conditions race. It was the race that Dabadayan really let slip through his fingers because they've gone no gallop. And Alfonso de Souza came home in 34 dead off the corner. Not many 5 furlong horses can do that. So if they go slow here, it's going to play into the strengths of the Aidan O'Brien run. I think he'll win. I think he's just got too much speed for these. So it all depends if anything's going to take the ball by the horns and try and make the race into a staying contest. If they do, then obviously the likes of Parish Hall and Sir Taracton, to a smaller degree, Opera Gloves come into the equation, because they really would want a more stronger test of stamina. And it might well be that Jim Bolger and Kevin Mannon have got their heads together and worked out a plan with Parish Hall, because you know, he's got some good form in group company this season and he's a very classy horse. But he would need a real good strong gallop here. They don't want to go slow. If they do go slow, it's going to set it up for Alfonso de Souza. And I've got a funny feeling that's the way the race will develop.
OK then, so the O'Brien charge in the feature, the 7:45 Diamond Stakes. The 8:15 is race number 6 on Dundalk's card. It's a handicap over a mile and 2.5 furlongs. This looks really tricky, Andy. We've got some 3-year-olds in here that are thoroughly unexposed. We've got some 3- and 4-year-olds that have been running quite a lot, actually, and we sort of know what they're about. And a few older horses in there as well. Where do we start with this one?
Yeah, it's the last of the very good races to look at. But it doesn't mean to say it's any easier than the last two we're going to cover. As you said, a whole conglomerate of horses here coming together with various form lines. One or two disappointing runs last time out, but that can be probably put down to the fact that some of them have been running on heavy ground, like Victory Song, for instance. Chalaman finally got the monkey off his back last week and winning in fairly convincing fashion. But can he repeat the dose? That's the problem with Chalaman. Then we've got the likes of Payne Magnus and One Diamond, who've got really good all-weather form, having questions to ask after one or two indifferent runs on the turf throughout the summer season. I'd probably go with either one of those two, because I do think all-weather form here at Dundalk carries plenty of clout, particularly in the shape of Payne Magnus, who's 3-for-3 the track. Now, unfortunately, he's got a tricky draw to overcome here, but that hasn't stopped punters backing him this morning. He was 5-6-1 with many firms, but he's now around the 7-2, 4-1 mark. You've just got to hope that Kevin Manning slots this horse in quite nicely from stall 11 and gets into a good rhythm early on. If he does, if he gets handy, then he's going to be dangerous down the lane, because he's very tough and he's very difficult to pass, as his opponents have come across in the last three runs here at Dundalk. So I think Payne Magnus is a definitely worthy favourite. One Diamond's the other one here. He beat Alaval and Machete Mark on the last time he shipped up here at Dundalk. He's just been a little bit wayward on his last two or three runs on the turf, and you'd probably just say, well, he's not probably a turf horse. That's probably the way you'd think. And Mickey Halford, doesn't mess around in these kind of races. Always, if there's money down for one of his, then they've obviously been working well and he fancies his chances. So I can see where there's money for One Diamond as well. So I'd probably have to go that's the route I'll go down. I'll go down the all-weather, tried and trusted path with Payne Magnus number one and One Diamond as a bit of a cover bet.
Okay then. The 8:45 is the penultimate race on the card. It is Division 1 of a handicap over a mile and a half. And as you've already alluded to, Andy, this is ridiculously competitive, isn't it? I wouldn't know where to start with this one.
Well, we've got the added worry of there being a non-runner as well. Trans City, number 2 on the race card, doesn't run. So that could mean that one of the reserves gets in. And if one of those reserves is the third reserve goal, this race can take a totally different shape to it, because I think Gordon Elliott's charge would win if he's a runner, because he did a good number the other day at Wolverhampton, and he's probably one of the most reliable and informed horses in this field. But because we don't know what's going to run at this very early stage this morning, it's a difficult race to assess. If Gold doesn't take his chance in this race, I'll probably stick with Banker Burke. Now, this horse hasn't run here at Dundalk, but he does come from a very good family here, from the Big Bad Bob line, who've done really well in recent years here at Dundalk. For instance, I can reel off five horses who've all got winning form here at Dundalk. Blaze Brightly, Brendan Bracken, Bible Belt, and Bob LeBeau as well. Backbench Blues is the other one. That was the one I was missing. So, you know, the fact that Jessica Harrington has waited for quite a while to run him on the all-weather, I think it's quite significant. He's got a reasonable handicap mark of 59. He ran quite well in a claim the other day down in Tipperary. And prior to that, it wasn't a bad run behind several good sorts at Killarney. That was a decent 0-80 handicap. So I think he's got a touch of quality. He goes on the all-weather for the first time, and if his family genes are anything to go by, then he should go well.
OK, then. So that is Banker Burke in the 8:45. The final race on the card is Division 2 of the same handicap over a mile and a half. This one maybe looks a little easier in that we've got a slightly shorter price favourite. We've got All About Alfie in at 4-1 at the time of recording. And he ran really well at Tipperary when last seen.
He did, yeah. It was a bit of a bunch finish. They didn't go particularly quick, and he was outpaced late on by Positive Vibes, who rattled home. But that was a good return first time out. Hasn't been seen since. Unfortunately, we got no all-weather form for All About Alfie, so slightly in the dark with him to a degree. Tim Joes could easily bounce back after a poor run at Garran. He just failed to sparkle that day after a good win the time before in Ballinrobe. I think he could be quite dangerous here, Tim Joe. He's always looked like the kind of horse that might well act on this surface. But it's a shocker, this race. I haven't really got much of a view. I'll probably go and take a right punt here with a horse called Well Insured. Now, he's getting a little bit long in the fang. He's a 9-year-old, but he's got some really good numbers here at Dundalk in similar races to this over a variety of trips, mile four up to 2 miles. And you have to say, on more than one occasion, he's been a bit unlucky in the run. The problem is that his jockeys who've ridden him have started him off far too way back in the pack, and he's had to had a mountain to climb down the lane. He's not the kind of horse who's going to quicken for you, but he does stay really well. So if they go a decent gallop here in this big field here tonight, maybe they'll bring well-insured stamina into play. And he's probably just worth a little bit of a cheeky little bet, 14-1, 16-1. But I haven't got a strong view, like most punters here, as you can tell by the betting. I think it's going to be about a 5-1 the field race again.
OK, then. So well-insured in the closer. If you could just sum up your picks then in the 8 races at Dundalk on Friday evening, please, Andy.
Yeah, hopefully we get off to a decent start, because that's where most of my betting action will take place tonight here at Dundalk. First race, I'd advise a good each-way bet on Cabjoy, 16-1. I think he's overpriced. In the 6:15, I'd have to have two against the field in this wide-open contest, Salvado and Lake George. In the 6:45, again, I do think there's one that's overpriced here, Cultured Lady. I can't believe she's a 12-1 chance. She ran well on debut against two good horses, so from a good draw, I'd expect her to go well. My nap of the night is Nocturnal Affair each way. I just think that's a free bet in that 7:15. He's got to go well, given his all-weather Dundalk form. 7:45, I'd have to stick with Alfonso de Souza. If they go slow, I think it'll play into his strengths. In the 8:15, two against the field of the two quality all-weather horses, Payne Magnus, number 1, and number 4, One Diamond. And then we get on to the real nasty stuff. 8:45, a trappy old affair. I'll take a chance with... I forgot what I was going to tip. Oh, yeah. I'll take a chance with Banker Burke. Goodness me, I was trying to avoid that race completely. And in the final race, again, another absolute nightmare, but well insured. Might go well if they go a good gallop.
OK, good stuff, Andy. Good luck with those selections. Fingers crossed we can have a few winners for podcasters on this Friday evening. Good luck, and we will talk soon.
Will do. Thanks a lot, Alex.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.